How about a book about famous songwriters? What motivated them? Why they wrote what they wrote? A very interesting and great topic, I must say. Some of the greatest poetry that we've ever read is actually put to song. Debbie Kruger's written a thing called Songwriters Speak. It's out now. We'll find out more from Debbie where you can get it. But it encapsulates the conversations about creating great music. She interviewed 45 people from Australia and New Zealand. They work in rock, pop, country, and they've all left an imprint on our culture. And, of course, their songs are still loved today. Debbie Kruger's on the line. Hello, Debbie.
Hey, Bill. Thank you for having me. Good morning and happy holidays to you.
And to you. Congratulations on the book. It is a wonderful idea. It may have been done before, but I've certainly not heard of it. 45 candid face-to-face interviews, all documented. What gave you the inspiration for this?
Well, the book is actually a reissue, so it had been done before by me. But I'm the only one who's done it in this region, in Australia, New Zealand. And what gave me the impetus was recognising exactly what you said so beautifully, that some of the most beautiful poetry is actually put to music. And I didn't feel that the songwriters in Australia, or who had come from Australia, because many of them are internationally famous, had been given due credit for contributing to our culture. You would see an artist on TV or in a concert, and until more recently, people wouldn't think about, well, the song. It all begins with the song. Who wrote that? Sometimes it's the artist, but sometimes it's the person behind an artist, and their stories hadn't been told, and I really wanted to do that.
I remember, I think it'd be over a year ago now, I think it was on this very show, filling in for someone, that we talked about what's your favourite one-liner from a song. There have been some really epic and very clever lines from songs all over the world, and it makes you wonder at the time, What inspires these people? Because you also hear, Debbie, and I'm sure you've got a few of these yarns yourself, about artists who've actually sat in an airport lounge, or they've mostly finished an album but have one track really that they need to put on the album, and they're struggling for an idea. So they sit down and scrawl something on a tissue paper or a menu or a notepad, and then throw it together with the rest of the band, if that's the case. And off they go, and it turns out to be something very special. It must be very interesting figuring out and learning where all the inspiration came from for them.
Yeah, that was one of the great journeys of interviewing 45 different songwriters and hearing their stories, is that they all agreed they couldn't bottle it. They, you know, different songwriters had different ideas about where their songs come from. So Graham Goble of Little River Band, who wrote Reminiscing, he believed and still does that he has a team of songwriting angels that come to him in his sleep, and he wakes up and there's a beautiful song. Kacey Chambers believed that the songs were in her guitar, and if she picked up the guitar one day and it wasn't coming to her, then the song just wasn't there that day. And others like Neil Finn never really got a handle on where it came from. But they were very aware of what was going on. He was very aware of what was going on around him. And it might be a line or it might be an episode. There was one great story he told of being in a hotel somewhere and hearing people having sex in the room next door. And that turned into a famous Crowded House song. So Nick Cave, you know, would read the Bible or read the thesaurus.
Yes,
and
that's easy for you to say.
It is normally. Not enough coffee yet today. And be intrigued with ideas and words and how they come together. And then somebody like John Williamson. I mean, you know, you do want to talk about poetry. I didn't really appreciate him until I studied his work to interview him and was listening to and reading his lyrics and realising this is some of the most beautiful poetry that has ever been written anywhere, let alone in this country. So it gave me a great appreciation for the universe of creation, if you like, without trying to sound too airy-fairy, and just the infinite ways that people create. And I'm a music fan. I'm passionate about music. I'm a student of music. And And so to have the privilege of talking to so many great creators of music and have these in-depth conversations. And I think what people love about Songwriters Speak is that you read a chapter and it is a Q&A, it's a conversation. So you feel like you're sitting there in the room with me and that songwriter. And we've lost eight of them now. Eight of these people that I had interviewed for the book are gone. And so you won't hear Jim Keys or Billy Thorpe talk in so much depth about their songwriting ever again. But you can always relive that conversation in my book.
You've touched on some of the methods there. Were they all, did you find, mostly consistent in the way they went about the process, or were some actually quite random? Because you hear stories, for example, about, well, whether it's McCartney and Lennon, just off the top of my head, you know, they might have a piece of a few chords they've put together that sound nice, and it finishes up becoming a chorus and a verse, for example. And then they sort of, it's like a jigsaw puzzle, they put it together and then the lyrics come with that. Or, for example, Taupin and Elton John, Bernie would hand Elton the lyrics and then Elton would put the music to it, and that was kind of a regular thing for them. It was just basically the way they worked. So what did you find? Were they very methodical in some cases, or did it all happen differently at different times?
There were a few songwriters that would be very... Nick Cave is one. He would go to work every day. He would sit at his piano and write. But a lot of them were, very few of them were musically trained. And, you know, they couldn't read. Only one or two could actually read and write notation. So it was very much a riff, you know, or a rhythm. And, you know, some great writers are drummers. Rob Hurst from Midnight Oil. And it doesn't mean that there aren't melodies flowing through them. But, you know, you ask the standard question, what comes first, the lyrics or the melody? And for most of them, it was quite piecemeal and it was collaborative. And then there aren't a lot of Bernie Taupin, Elton John partnerships anywhere. That is so unique that Bernie will always write the lyrics first. And he just finally got inducted into the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame, you know, and he's got his book out and he's finally getting acknowledged for that great work. In Australia, I guess you might compare maybe Michael Hutchinson and Andrew Farris and Mike from INXS. And Michael had already died when I started the book, but I spoke to Andrew, and it was only a few years after Michael had died, so he was still grappling with where he fitted in the whole music creation world anymore without that partner. And he's gone on and forged a whole great new career for himself in country music and whatever. But I think that's the other wonderful thing about this book, is that they're moments in time when these conversations took place. And some of them have gone on and done much more work, and others, not so much. But what you'll get is a lot of storytelling. And I think one of the reasons I really wanted this book to be out again is because it's not just about the songwriters, it's about the art of interviewing. And you would know, because you're interviewing people all the time, that there is a real skill to interviewing and evoking a really interesting in-depth response. So that was one of the reasons why, and I don't know how controversial it will be for your listeners, but I decided to keep my Rolf Harris interview in there, because he was a classically trained musician and songwriter. He wrote some very interesting Australian songs. He was a wonderful conversationalist. It happened long before we found out things about him.
Sure.
And it's a great interview. And I just say in my new foreword, if you don't like that chapter is there, feel free to skip it. But, you know, then you can go on and read about Harry Vander and George Hunt. And you want to talk about a great line? The most basic line, Evie, Evie, let your hair hang down.
Very good point.
It really doesn't get, or you're the one that I want, ooh, 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 honey. And I told John Farrar, who wrote all those great Olivia Newton-John songs, I said, you know, you wrote that. It might not be the deepest, most profound line in the world, but everyone knows it, and everyone stops in their tracks and listens to that song when it plays.
Well, plus amplify it with a good melody and arrangement, and boom, it's just something special.
And Olivia Newton-John and John Travolta.
Yeah. And that's why this is such a great book. There are so many layers to it, which you dig right through, Debbie Kruger. Thank you so much for your time.
you, Bill. Have a really, really fabulous Christmas, and I really appreciate your interest. Thank you.
All the best. Quickly, all good bookstores, Debbie?
Go to songwriterspeak.com to the buy page, and it will tell you all the places you can buy the book.
All right, songwriterspeak.com, the place to go. Thank you so much. Have a great Christmas.
You too. Bye.
Debbie Kruger, author of Songwriters Speak. You might want to record your favourite songs, favourite lines, why you thought they were particularly good. And the other thing I wanted to get into with Debbie, but we're nearly out of time. We've got to get to Sue Dodd. And that is a lot of these people wrote these songs when they were really young. Not a lot of life experience there. And yet some of these great songs were written, and that's true for poetry as well, and even some books, but particularly with songs. A lot of the people who write these songs were very young at the time and still very, very good stuff. I think we might take a quick break. We'll come back with Sue Dodd. And don't forget...